Children are to be seen and not heard. That's what my grandma said. She disagrees with me. Let me explain something to you, and hopefully we can slow down. We'll just carry on with what we was talking about, but I want to be able to talk to you. I really just want to be able to talk to you. And if the Lord does something different, that's fine. But there's a longing in my heart to see people know God. There's a desire in me to see people have a real peace with God. Zach mentioned it in Sunday school, and I have to keep mentioning it here in the service, but because it's so prevalent in our day that I just try to keep clearing the air on this thing because I don't like confusion. The devil is the author of confusion. He wants you to be confused. God wants you to have a clear, crisp understanding. I'm 48 years old. I got a birthday coming up real soon, next April. And the older you get, the faster they come. See, man, I mean, you know, you can have a birthday the last week and seem like another week. It just flies by. But don't forget my birthday next day. Just go ahead and start laying up. You got to worry about Christmas and all that. It ain't really Jesus' birthday. You just think about mine. But then, before I was ever born, the Lord knew me. And the Lord, I believe, had a purpose for my life. And I had a daddy that, you know, just, he wasn't a godly man. Be nice. He liked alcohol and he liked other things. But I tend to think, Michael, that the Lord was interested in the fruit of my daddy's loins. I do. I think the Lord was interested in the fruit of my daddy's. I think he was interested in me. And the Lord raised me up, and I've done my stupidity, you know. I don't think that kids have to do that. I think you do what you want to do, because I know a lot of children that grow up that walk right and obey their parents and honor their parents and do right, and they get saved and never do get out. And these are great. I just have to applaud them because that's a great testimony. I get sick and tired of the testimonies. People have to go out and smoke dope and be prostitutes and be, you know, whoremongers and drunks before, you know, God, you can get excited over God saving them. I say thank God for God saving that person that never done it. Thank God for that individual that lived clean and right and kept herself pure and done things. Thank God for that testimony. Amen. That's a tougher thing to do, by the way. That's a tougher thing to do in this old world. But it can be done if you want to. But anyway, I went out and done stupid, and God ended up saving me about a year after I got married. And then he called me to preach, and he put a Bible in my hand and a message in my heart. Now I just want you to get this. And here I stand before you today, all these years later, 20 some years later, still trying to be faithful. Still trying to pray, still trying to be a student of the Word, still trying to do the will of my Father. And I didn't come to you with some words of man. I didn't come to you with some NIV or NKJ. Come we with the authorized version of God's holy Word. The words that God spoke himself. And I preach a message to you. Now watch this. All of a sudden, something smites your heart and you begin to think, man, am I really saved? Them doubts get in. People begin to tell you that's the devil. So wait a minute. God's brought me through the womb of a mother. They say that's the most dangerous place on planet Earth. He brought me through the womb of a mother, all my childhood, all my mishap doing, all the stupidity I've been through, saved me, called me to preach, gave me a message, gave me a Bible, put me in this pulpit, brought you here through all the mess that you've been through, just to let me preach the Word of God, and then him call time out. So the devil can work in your mind and heart and life? You think God did that? That's crazy, bud. God didn't do that. God didn't invest all that time in your life. God didn't get you to come here today. God didn't do all the work, all the things out so that you could be underneath the sound of the Word of God so that he could back off of everything he's done in our lives and let the devil create doubt in you. That's the Word of God's job. That's what God's words do. Hey, listen, Zach said it a while ago, and I can't help it. I'm not saying it because he did. It was on my heart. It's been on my mind for a while. Listen, most people, when they testify, need to stop and say, I want to thank God for Satan. I want to stop and give the devil some praise, because if it hadn't been for him, I would have never got this thing settled. I would have never had a doubt. I would have never went to the Lord in prayer. I would have never sought after God if it hadn't been for Satan bringing these doubtful thoughts to my mind. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life. Let me tell you what the devil will do. He'll take a lost man and tell him, no, you're saved. No, you're okay. You're fine. Man, you made a profession. You go to church. You do the right things. You love your spouse. You're a good dad. You're a good son. Hey, listen, you're fine. Romans chapter 3 didn't say that. That's what Romans chapter 3 said about it. Listen, I'm saved by the grace of God, and there still ain't nothing good about me but the grace of God. Outside of Jesus Christ, I'm rotten to the core, friend. You take Jesus out of my life, and I promise you'll see the ugliest mess you ever seen in your life. Still pretty ugly on the outside, but if you can see on the inside without Jesus, son, it'll make you puke. Sickness, disgusting. I'm telling you right now, God will send a messenger. He's done it all through the Bible. God has used preaching to get that stuff done. All through the Bible, He's used the Word of God to magnify this in your life. Manifest it. Bring it to light. Let you begin to see it. Now, here's all I'm saying. When you begin to see it, don't buck it. When you begin to see it, don't go after the philosophy of man. Continue to listen to the Word of God. Don't listen to your preacher. Listen to the Word of God. Take what I say and go, let's see what that Bible says about it. See if it lines up with the Bible. That's right. I mean, go ahead. See if what I say lines up with the Bible. Search it out. Dig it out. See for yourself. And I promise you, the Word of God will start revealing things to you, and just let the Word of God, hey listen, let it say what it says. Let the Word lie where it falls. Don't ask somebody to explain it to you. God will explain that to you, because man will explain it away. Well, that ain't exactly what it means. Let me tell you what it means. It means exactly what it says. It's simple. Just let it lie where it falls. Let it be. If that's what it says, then that's what it is. That's what it means. That's what I need in my life. Amen. It's what I need. He'll supply all of your need according to His riches and glory. This is what we need. We need today to hear something about the peace of God. I believe I'm trying my best to be obedient to the voice of God. I believe we have a people today that needs to hear about the peace of God. He's supplying our need. We need to hear this word. That's why God sent it. Back to the mind we was talking about earlier. Well, let me say this. You know, I used to go to church. I can remember Mama when I was a young fella and I would go to church. I swear sometimes I thought somebody done taught the preacher. I did. I mean, I can remember times that I would go here preaching, or I'd go to my church, and I had a pretty good old pastor. I loved him, thought the world of him. But I can tell you, man, I thought time after time, Miss Holly, that somebody done called my pastor and told on me. I can remember, man, going to church, and I remember preachers nailing my hide to the wall, and I mean, son, they went down my alley, and I went, for God's sake, somebody's been running their mouth. Little did I know, the longer I sat under the preaching of God's Word, it was the Holy Ghost that was exposing me. That's right. It was the Word of God that was exposing me. Nobody had to call the preacher. All he had to do was preach the Word. My life was so contrary to that Word that, man, it just made me feel like somebody was ratting me out. So the Holy Ghost had my number. That's who it was. And I say today, thank God He had my number. Now back to the mind. I say the mind games that Satan plays is not doubt. The games that Satan plays in our mind ain't doubt. But rather he'll try to turn you against those that love you. Have you ever noticed that? The devil wants to play games and turn you against the people that love you. I think I said it last week. I think I said That maniac over at Gadara, remember I talked about them lepers last week, that leprosy being a type of sin. And those lepers had to be taken from their wives or from their husbands. They had to be taken from their children. They had to be taken from their loved ones and isolated, put out. That's what this maniac of Gadara had to go through. They had to put him out, man. They said, you can't dwell over here with us. That's exactly what the devil and what sin does. The devil drives you away from the people that loves you. I mean, think about it. I don't have to stand up here and prove a whole lot. Think about how many teenagers the devil has tried to turn against their parents. Just wedges, man. That's the kind of stuff he does. That's the mind games he plays that, you know, separating us from the people that loves us. Those that are trying to help us. The devil drove the maniac of Gadara into a desolate place. And that's the same thing he wants to do with me and you. You know how many times, Michael, that when I was lost, I had people all around me. There was people all around me, Zach, and I felt like I was the loneliest person in the world. Right. Man, I felt like I was all alone. People everywhere you look, man, I felt like I was all alone. Just what the devil does. Some of them mind games he plays on us. Can't you see that cat running around just naked, having a time, cutting himself, raising Cain everywhere? And the Bible said God put him in his right mind. He delivered him. Set him free. Broke him loose from all them devils. And cleared his whole mind up. Man, that's a blessing. That's what God will do. He'll give you peace of mind is what I'm trying to say. Not just peace of heart. He'll give you peace of mind. All the most stupid thoughts the devil does and all them divisions, all that separation between you and the people that love you, the people that you love and those that you care about and those that care about you. God will put all that stuff back together the way it's supposed to be. There's a lot of folks that get messed up. And they're trying to get God through the power of they're trying to get to God through the power of positive thinking. And that ain't how you get to God. I mean, they've made a lot of money off the power of positive thinking. You're gonna get to God through getting your heart right. That's right. And until you get your heart right, nothing else matters. You don't wanna know why? Because it ain't until your heart gets right that your mind gets right. You can't get your mind right if your heart ain't right. You're going to have to get your heart right first. That's right. And Jesus can give that peace in your heart. And once that old heart gets right, then Jesus can give you peace in your mind. But today we bypass the heart. Today we've just got past the inner man and all that wretchedness and violence. And we begin to think with our mind, boy, we can just do this. And we can think like this. And we can carry on this way. And everything will be the power of positive thinking. If you can think about it. I've heard them stupid preachers say, take your wallet. You've probably heard it. I got it on tape. Take your wallet. Look into your wallet. Speak into your wallet. Say you're a beautiful wallet full of all that money. Your wallet may be completely empty, but speak to your wallet. And I thought that's the stupidest thing. You can speak to that wallet until you turn blue in the face and drop dead, friend. I'm gonna tell you something. If face of money jumps in there, you better back up because it ain't God. And it ain't about the power. But I'm going to tell you what, it ain't filling your wallet up with money that's going to get you peace of mind and the peace in your, it's getting your heart right with God. Amen. That's right, just giving your old heart over to Him and letting Jesus give you a new heart. And let me ask you something. You ever pillage your head on a Sunday night after hearing the Word of God or any night during the week, any time the Lord has troubled you? You ever found yourself under conviction or being lost without God? You ever found yourself laying on your bed at night not being in God's will and have that trouble in your mind? Just trouble laying down at night, trying to go to sleep, all that stuff going through your mind. Just not right with God. Your heart not right. You can be saved and still be out of fellowship with God and have a hard time going to sleep. Man, lay on your bed at night and not have peace of mind. I'm telling you, if I got sin in my life, JD, that's unconfessed, son, if I lay down at night, it's the hardest thing in the world for me to try to go to sleep. But I promise you, when I'm walking in the Spirit and I'm fellowshipping with a Father, Son, I can lay down. It don't matter what comes our way. Thank God I can lay down at night and go to sleep. Go to sleep. It's a blessing, bud, I'm telling you. I can promise you one thing. The night I got saved, I wasn't about to go to bed without God. I wasn't going anywhere doing anything till God saved me. I guess I've made it known enough in here. I hate snakes. I absolutely, Zach talking about them serpents in Sunday school. Man, I'm telling you, he got to stop talking about them serpents over there in the wilderness, and I wanted to pick my feet up off. I hate them so much, I don't even like to hear that kind of stuff about them. I mean, can you imagine being over there and everywhere you go is a stinking snake and they biting on people? Man, I hate them, JD, I hate them. And I've often thought, man, I'm telling you, if a snake was to jump around the corner on me, he wouldn't have to bite me, so help me God, I'd kill myself getting away. I believe I'd kill myself. I hate them. I ain't never been afraid of the boogeyman in my life. I just ain't never been afraid of the boogeyman. Never been afraid of the dark. I ain't never been afraid of no, you know, boogeyman, all that kind of stuff. I ain't a ghost, all that stuff. None of it ever scared me. None of it. None of it never bothered me. Snakes bother me. Amber, the night that I got saved, I remember sitting on that church pew and the Holy Ghost of God had hemmed me up one more time. And they always told me that snakes crawl at night. They said snakes crawl. The old songwriters wrote the song, Snakes Crawl at Night, and that's what they say. Well, I believed it because I saw it. I can remember us walking up Holder Road. You see snakes once in a while. And we was walking down there one night. Mama, was you with us? Was walking down there, and there's a big old black streak across the road. We went, what is that? And all of a sudden, Jerry came up the road, and it was a big old copperhead, just a big old fat copperhead. And I mean, we were just right there on it, and we actually stepped over it because we seen the black line and went, what is that? So we stepped over it. About that time, Jerry came up the road. I remember driving that old Cadillac. He drove up the road, and we were standing around looking, and he shined a light, big old fat copperhead. He got it, you know, and carried it back down there and went down there and got Don Bowman's 357, and they just shot holes in that copperhead. All just shot holes. All I was happy, thank God. Saying snakes crawl at night. I hate them. At night, I got under Holy Ghost conviction. It was night. We went home. It was pitch dark. I didn't want to do nothing, son. I sent my wife to the store. I was just trying to get along with God, and that wasn't good enough for some reason. Listen, I went out there in them woods. I said I wasn't afraid of no boogeyman. But son, I'm telling you, you couldn't have held a gun to my head under normal conditions and got me to walk through the woods at night without being scared out of my mind. I was scared of snakes. That night I was under conviction, Miss Holly, I never thought about a snake. Son, I'm telling you, all I could think about was where I was at with God. My wicked condition with Him. How wretched and how vile I was. If for some reason snakes never entered my mind, that kind of fear never entered my mind, son, I got out there in them woods all by myself. I never thought about nothing like that mistake. There was something greater than the fear of a snake on me. A conviction, power of the Holy Ghost was drenching my heart. Man, I fell down by that tree out there in them woods. You hear me? I was crawling around in them woods out there on my face, JD, begging God to have mercy on my soul. Never did think about no snake. But I can tell you what happened. I passed from death unto life. Amen. Amen. I'm glad. Thank God that night He saved my soul. I come out in the woods and everything. I look back at it now and go, man, what in the name of God was wrong? Why'd I go out in the woods? I could have done that in my bedroom. But you know what? I'm glad God can save you anywhere. I said that because I want you to realize you can get saved in that bathroom back there. You can get saved by your bedside. I've heard stories, no telling how many people riding down the road and park their car and get out on the side of the highway. And God saved their soul. You say, what is it? I'm just telling you, when God draws you, buddy, that's where you better get it, bud. I'm telling you, it don't make no difference whether you're on a church altar or if you're in a bathroom somewhere or you're out in the woods somewhere. Thank God, you better get a hold of God wherever you can. Well, I'll wait till, no, don't wait, son. Do business with God right where you're at. Right while the Holy, listen, when the waters are being troubled in your soul, thank God you better take care of business while the waters is being troubled, while there's a going in the mulberry trees, while the Holy Ghost is a breathing on you, you better do business or do business with God. When you get saved, Jesus will give you peace. And even as you have peace in your heart, Satan will trouble your mind. But if you'll just keep your mind on the Lord. Romans 16:20 says, the God of peace, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Here's what God can and wants to do. He wants to take you out of the darkness and turmoil and give you sweet peace. He wants to put Satan under your feet. He'll do that. He'll do that. You say, brother, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about you can stand up when we sing that song in church and it'll be ringing true down in your heart. You can sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, like you've never sung it before in your life, me son. You can sing it and it'll really mean something this time. Amen. He'll put all that underneath, but all them old thoughts, all that turmoil, all that trouble, Jesus Christ will speak peace and put every bit of that underneath you. Amen. Bless you. Zach quoted Hebrews 11:6, or read it earlier in Sunday school, and we read it around here quite often. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We've talked about that word around here, diligently. You ever stop and think about how diligent you are about some things? I mean, things that you really are interested in, maybe you're a little more diligent about it. And we said if we took and hit $1 million in this building somewhere, maybe in the block walls or in the slab, we talked about, and I told you, you can have it. All you got to do is find that you can have it. You would go to no ends to find that $1 million. I mean, you might even rent a backhoe to just tear the place down to find that $1 million. And I wonder, Zach, sometimes what we're willing to go through to get a hold of God. Are you willing to go to no end, turn over every rock, stop at nothing, let nothing hinder you, just keep on keeping on until you get to God? God don't want to hide Himself. He wants you to find Him. He's there. But He said, if you're going to come to Him, you're going to have to diligently seek Him, and He'll reward you for doing it. That's right. God wants to see what you got in there. He wants you to show what's in that heart. How much do you want Him, preacher? How do I seek after God? You continue to be faithful to the house of God. Pick up your Bible and read. I don't want to. Hey, look at me. Let me be honest with you. Most preachers ain't going to do that. Can I tell you, most of the time, it ain't no real great excitement to go read your Bible. I mean, try to go work 16 hours. I mean, just be honest. Turn your head on the wall. Go work about 12, 14, 16 hours and go home and pick up your Bible and tell me how exciting that was. Be honest about it. I'll tell you something. Your flesh will fall over in that Bible. I mean, very rare do you get to work all day and come home at night after you've been a mama and you took care of the kids and a daddy and you've worked all day and you've exhausted yourself, and now you're going to open the Bible, the devil will make good and sure you fall asleep, son. I have to get up early in the morning. If I try to open my Bible at night, I don't get 2 cents worth out of it. I have to get up early in the morning if I'm going to get anything, and try to get up and before I have to go out and do anything else and just get a hold of God first and foremost. I'm just saying, your flesh don't like the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Mine doesn't either. My flesh doesn't rejoice in the fact that I get to read the Bible. My spirit does, but my flesh don't. I have to make myself sometimes, John David, pick up my Bible. I have to make myself. Oh, I try to be a student of the Word. I try to read my Bible every day. I try to get something from the Lord every day. I try to. You hear me? But I'm telling you, there's a many days my flesh says, no. Michael, there's a many mornings I wake up and my flesh says, let's go back to sleep. I did it this week. Hey, I woke up, been working about 16 hours, woke up at 3 in the morning. And I was real sensitive about waking up at 3 in the morning. Didn't get but a few hours sleep. Miss Holly woke up, and I said, Lord, if you'll let me go back to sleep, I want to go back to sleep. And the Lord wouldn't let me go back to sleep. And say, well, I said, okay, Lord, I'll just get up with you. By 3:30, I got up and stayed with Him.
You say, well, I'm just telling you, what, no real joy for me to get up after working in many hours and having to do all I did and just have to get up and beat my old stinking flesh down. My flesh was tired and worn out and I wanted to rest it. You know what I said? Well, if I don't get up, I'm going to feel like a miserable dog today. But if I get up, he'll restore me. If I get up and spend some time with him, maybe he'll refresh me and give me the rest that I need anyhow. Amen. And I promise you, he helps me. He helps me. I'm just trying to be honest with you so you can understand. It ain't no great joy in my flesh. So, you know, you can beat yourself up, but don't beat yourself up. Just be faithful. Pick that book up and read it in spite of yourself. When you don't want to, do it anyway. I promise you this, if Jesus steps on the bow of your soul like he did that ship, and I'm done, I'll give you this and I'm done. It's hard to preach after we eat. It's easy to sleep. I just want to talk to you and drive a little bit of this peace home because I want you to have it. But I can promise you one thing, and make no mistake about this, church. I want you to get this and we'll be done. If Jesus ever steps out on the bow of your soul and speaks peace, you won't doubt it. You'll have no doubt about that. You'll have no doubt about that. Brother Sammy always says, how can I come move in your house and live there? And my wife goes shopping with your wife and we go out to church together and we knock doors together and your wife and my wife, they stand in the kitchen and cook it. How can we live in your house for a week and you not know it? You're going to know it, friend, if I come move in your house. I start eating out of your cabinets. I start running around. You're going to know it. I hate to hear a vacuum cleaner. Is any man bear witness with that? I hate to hear a stinking vacuum cleaner. I hate a dirty house, but I hate to hear a vacuum cleaner. That's the most annoying sound. Jim Carrey said he had the most annoying sound on earth, but I think the most annoying sound on earth is a vacuum cleaner. His sound sounded a lot like a vacuum cleaner, but anyhow, I went out and bought my wife a pretty expensive vacuum cleaner because the expensive ones seem to be quieter than the cheap ones. You buy one of them $69 ones, it sounds like one of them Suzuki dirt bikes without a muffler. I mean, it's just, God, you're trying to do something in the house. I mean, man, whang, that thing's, turn that off. I don't want to hear that junk. And I don't never say that. Like, baby, that thing's throwing dust. And I can't breathe. Turn it off. And she cares enough. I went and bought her a good one. And it's quiet. You say, what are you talking about? I'm just saying, my wife living over at my house, when she runs in a vacuum cleaner, there's no way in the world I can't tell you she's there. I know she's there. I know what's going on. When the Holy Ghost of God lives on the inside of me and Jesus spoke peace into my heart, can I promise y'all something? I know it's there. I know. Just as sure as I know she's crunk up that vacuum cleaner, I know when the God of glory spoke peace into my soul. I know that. All the trouble and turmoil, all the racket in my life, when he speaks peace, it just shuts off. It shuts off. It shuts off. I tell you, when I get out of whack with God and the devil starts messing with my mind and I get my mind back on the Lord and the Lord speaks that peace into my mind, even still today, and all that turmoil and trash is just shut off, son, there's peace in my heart and in my mind, and I know it. You can't help but know it. If you don't know it, I'm just as sure about it, Zach. If you don't know it, then you don't have it. If you don't know it, friend, you don't have it. If you don't know that peace has been spoken, you don't have that peace. There's nothing like it. Let me ask you a question, and I'm done. Close my Bible. Do you reckon that maniac of Gadara knew it when God spoke peace into his soul? Y'all answer me. Do you reckon that maniac running around in them tunes, cutting himself, breaking them fetters and chains, running like a wild man through the country over there buck naked? Do you think when Jesus spoke peace into his heart and life, do you think that man knew it? You think he knew it? Yeah, he knew it because he put his clothes on and went and sat at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. You better believe he knew it. You're going to know it too. What about the woman with the issue of blood? You reckon when Jesus touched her, when that virtue left his body and went into hers, do you reckon she knew that? The Bible says she knew it. Immediately the issue was dried up. She knew it. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You reckon we could go all the way through the Bible. That blind man over in John chapter 9 that was born blind, you think when Jesus gave him his sight, you reckon he knew he had this sight? This is all people getting saved. This is about getting born again. I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, but the law of God turned a light on. And thank God he gave me my sight, that I say that word of God has been put on my eyes. Everybody in that Bible that God ever touched, everybody in that Bible that God ever touched, they knew he touched them. Everybody, every one of them had a testimony. Here's my question. Has he touched you? Has he touched you? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt? Can you stand and say, I know that I know that I know that I have been passed from death unto life? That peace floods my heart. That peace. Hey, listen, friend. If you can't say that, my prayer for you is that you'd come to know Jesus Christ. I want you to have this peace. I want you to have this joy and this fellowship with the Father. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, dear God, for the word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd take it and apply it to our hearts and our lives. Lord, I pray, God, for the saints of God in here. Lord, we'd help keep our minds stayed on you, that we'd have peace of heart and peace of mind. And God, those that's lost and undone, Lord, I pray, dear God, that they would diligently seek you until they are rewarded with you, God. And that peace is spoken into their life. God, what you want to do in these homes and in these lives and these marriages and in these families, God, is absolutely not short of amazing, dear God. I pray that you let these families come to realize what you have in store for them. If they would just continue to seek after God, help us, oh Lord, to be faithful. Help us, dear God, to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We give you the praise for it and everything you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.